This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
Good morning, this is The Breakfast Grill. I'm Keith Kam. The pandemic has forced many traditional businesses to digitize. These days, it's rare to find a company without an e-commerce platform or an app. Omnichannel marketing is certainly the buzzword. Many businesses are, however, understandably daunted at the idea of expanding into omnichannels, given the perception that you have to be extremely IT savvy and an expert in coding. However, one US company, Boston-based OutSystems, is rewriting the code, and they're doing this by pushing its low-code platform as a simpler and easier way of digitizing the sales platform. Today, we are having a chat with Mark Weiser, OutSystems Asia-Pacific Vice President, and find out how his company is taking coding mainstream and making it easy for everyone. Welcome, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Keith. Good morning and selamat pagi.
Your company touts low-code as an easier solution for businesses wanting to develop apps or other channels to reach consumers. First of all, what is low-code and how is that different from high code?
Yeah, that's a good question, Keith, for your listeners. Well, low code is really a modern application development platform that provides an environment to develop software using visual modeling and graphical user interface, as opposed to the traditional way of coding every line of an application. And what it does is it really increases the speed and agility of businesses and enterprises out there to be able to develop applications, particularly in the environment that we have today around digital transformation.
Now, the terms that you're using there, as I said earlier in the introduction, that a lot of traditional businesses find it a little bit daunting to be able to transition from something so traditional to something like this. So how do you ensure that it really translates to these businesses to let them know that it really matters to them?
Yeah, I think, you know, most businesses today, I think the pandemic really accelerated companies to really have to take a look at how they develop applications to respond to their customers. And I think we also have a large developer shortage globally because of the demand for applications is so high. Mm. So I think companies were forced to find a different way, and low code seems to be able to answer that. And we've seen a real acceleration of this technology. I would kind of use an analogy, if I don't mind. You know, everyone, you know, knows that, you know, 100 years ago when you would a car was manufactured, it was all manufactured by hand. And up until recently, software applications were also manufactured by hand, even though they were a major driver around automation. What we're doing, in essence, is automating the building of software products. You know, so we're disrupting the way that the software development industry is making software. And I think companies, all particularly CIOs now, they certainly understand this technology is becoming mainstream, and they have usually a list of applications that they either need to build or, in many cases, legacy applications that they need to modernize. So they know that they need to find a different way to do it. There's a shortage of developers. They have cost constraints, particularly in our inflationary environment today. They need a different way, not only to build an application, but to manage it over time. And that's where low code comes in and is becoming mainstream around the world, and particularly in Malaysia now, as we see with our business at OutSystems.
What is that process like, the development of apps for businesses? How does OutSystems go towards getting a business to develop an app?
It's a very good question. I mean, we have different ways of engaging our customers. I mean, some of our customers want to try the technology. Let's say they have one app to build or one particular project. We've certainly seen that in Malaysia. And they look for a different way to build it than going and hiring a system house or hiring a bunch of developers to do it by hand. So they have one particular application. They want to try the technology, work with, you know, our ecosystem of business partners or perhaps their own developers to get it done. Then we have some customers that might have a list of applications. Let's say that they want to totally transform their procurement department. They have 10 apps that they need to build or repurpose from another technology. They'll come to us and say, we need a program for 10 apps. And then we have some customers that have really made a decision that they need to change the nature of the way they do business. They need to transform the whole company and become much more agile to survive and prosper in the future, where they put in a full transformation program using low-code technology as one of the foundations for that. So we have some that start small, and we have some that actually go in with both feet and totally transform their organizations. We see that in Malaysia.
It sounds like it can be a bit costly. How do you convince them that it's actually worth it?
actually, our ROI is very strong. You know, it's actually a lot less expensive to be able to develop low-code than it would be through traditional development. You know, one of the major benefits of low-code is speed. You know, most of the applications that could be built using visual modeling and patterns and artificial intelligence are 5 to 10 times faster. So getting faster business value is really one of our main, you know, drivers for engaging a customer and for a customer to engage us. And then, you know, the agility for companies to be able to change those applications, update them as business needs change. Mm-hmm. And if you do it the traditional way, you know, often the developers that developed an application, they may have left the company or gone somewhere else. There's a lot of turnover. Under OutSystems, because we develop on a platform, it's much easier for companies to make changes. So we're actually a driver for optimizing costs, you know, either reducing cost or in most cases, getting a lot more productivity out of their developers. So I can give you an example. We have, you know, Schneider Electric is one of our largest customers globally. And, you know, their low-code developers are 5 times more productive than their traditional developers. So they can do a lot more for the business needs, get faster business value than they could the traditional way.
Your main product is a platform as a service solution, and this is a low-code platform that enables businesses to develop, deploy, and manage enterprise-grade apps. There's also something called a no-code as well. Isn't that easier than low-code and certainly cheaper for businesses to use? Why don't they opt for that?
Okay, really, the difference between low-code and no-code is that, and there's a lot of vendors that are out there that are promoting no-code solutions. Those are primarily focused on what we call citizen developers, which are non-IT professionals in companies that maybe might need to build some simple applications that are more standalone, that don't need deep integration into other systems. The reality for most businesses is they have a whole gambit of legacy systems that, you know, they can't get rid of right away. You know, they're running their businesses. They could be ERP systems like SAP or Oracle, could be mainframe systems. And where low-code differentiates itself from no-code is that we have built in all of the back-end integration capabilities with these legacy systems, many of them off the shelf, so that we can share data between systems and then optimize it at an enterprise-grade level, both from a security and a scalability point of view. Where a lot of no-code vendors, you know, they can build a simple application, but it's often not integrated into the security and scalability of the back-end for a company. So those are really the major differences between the two, and they both have a place in the market. Gartner, who's one of the leading enterprise technology advisories around the world, estimate that within two more years, by 2024, that two-thirds of all applications by major enterprises around the world will be built with some sort of low-code tools. And so the trend in software development is definitely toward low-code. It's the automation of building software. The integration and infusion of artificial intelligence is also driving this and allowing us to build apps a lot faster and getting value for companies, you know, around the world and certainly in Malaysia as well.
Today, OutSystems Network, you guys are in 87 countries and you have been just named to the 2022 Forbes Cloud 100. Sounds really impressive, but some of the biggest players in low-code solutions are Mendix and Power Apps, which is from Microsoft. What is your market share in percentage terms like in the Asia-Pacific region?
Well, there's not any really great data on market share. I would say that, you know, when you have, you know, big players like you mentioned, the Microsoft Power Apps also in the space, Amazon's also in the space, it's really validating the technology. Certainly in the Asia-Pacific region, I think we're seen certainly by Gartner as the clear leader in their annual report. You know, we started major investment in Asia-Pacific back in 2016 ahead of our competition. And we have significant customer bases and local support structures through partners in most of the major markets in Asia Pacific, I think well ahead of many of our competitors. So market share data is not exactly available, but we're still in the kind of early adoption stage of major enterprises. And we clearly, you know, started early and we have almost 600 customers in Asia Pacific.
Do you see any challenge in the sense that, you know, Microsoft is a company with a $2 trillion market cap and definitely a rock solid name, household name, if you will? How do you convince clients to sign up to you guys instead?
Well, I think, you know, as we compare to those type of solutions, usually on the backend integration and the number of use cases, complexity, you know, we have a lot more experience. We think, you know, that kind of validates the space. You know, we have some customers that that would use that Microsoft Power Platform and also use out systems because of our ability to be able to handle a much wider range of use cases. You know, even our, you know, these that kind of days in technology, you know, you have competitors, but you also, you're also customers of, you know, of these companies. So, you know, we, even Amazon has some capabilities in low code. We run on the AWS platform. Our product OutSystems 11 is built in Microsoft.net. We also cooperate with Microsoft with Azure Cloud. So, you know, there's, we call it co-opetition. And we think it's good for the whole market. It actually drives the innovation in the space, and we compete very favorably against the large players that have low code capabilities. We think it validates the space and the direction of software development.
OutSystems became a unicorn back in 2018 with valuations reportedly at around $9.5 billion or thereabouts currently. What's the next step for the company? What do IPO plans look like, if there are any?
Well, I think, you know, over the last, let's say, approximately 9 months, as we've kind of come out of the pandemic, there's been a correction in cloud software valuations and tech valuations in general. I think we're still really preparing the company for continued growth and looking for the right timing to do something like that. Clearly, that's an option for the company in the future. But right now, it's not the real focus of OutSystems. You know, we continue to grow through the pandemic at double digit rates, and we expect to continue to grow in the next couple of years as more and more companies adopt our technology. So certainly that's an option for the company, but it's not a focus right now. We're really focused on getting to the market and continuing to expand consumption on our platform.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we are talking to Mark Weiser, the Asia-Pacific Vice President of OutSystems, a company that provides tools for businesses to develop apps. In a little while, we'll find out what OutSystems is doing out here in Malaysia. This is BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. This is The Breakfast Grill. And with us this morning is Mark Weiser, the Asia-Pacific Vice President of OutSystems, a company that provides tools for businesses to develop apps. Now, Mark, OutSystems is in Malaysia now. Talk to me about why you guys decided to open an office here.
Well, we actually officially opened our office in June of this year. But we were actually in Malaysia, active in the market before the pandemic. I think because of the pandemic, we didn't officially open the office. We had it ready, actually, because we found there was a really good source of technical talent in Malaysia. So about 2.5 to 3 years ago, we started hiring Malaysian employees for technical roles. So our office in Malaysia has really two functions. One is, of course, for the domestic market, which we focused on really over the last year and a half. But prior to that, we have many of our Malaysian employees play a global role in providing professional services, product engineering services, and technical support worldwide for customers and business partners as well. So we started to use Malaysia for kind of Asia-Pacific or global type functions, given we found we could find really good talent technically and with multiple language skills. Then we evolved into serving more of the domestic market, which Malaysia is actually our fastest growing annual recurring revenue market over the last 6 to 9 months. So it's been since we started to focus on it during the pandemic, it's been really a great market for us. And we'll continue to invest in both the global functions technically for our Malaysian staff to focus on, as well as servicing domestic customers in Malaysia.
It's interesting that you talk about the readily available talent pool, because that seems to be the problem with Malaysian employers right now. There's a shortage of talent. How did you guys go about sourcing the staff that you have right now?
Well, I think we sold the exciting vision for OutSystems. I think that it's talent is tough everywhere. Let's say technical talent, you know, what you say about Malaysia probably exists in almost every country, right? So that's kind of also the driver for the adoption of our technology. So I think we were able to attract, you know, really good employees by selling the vision for the company. You know, when I recruit employees, you know, I not only talk about, you know, how they can contribute to a company like OutSystems, but being in a space that continues to grow at double digits and will continue to grow at double digits, even through more difficult economic times, is a key selling point for a young, technically educated person that wants to be part of the future. And because we also integrate artificial intelligence into our platform, and we see a great future for the space, we're a strong company in the space. That's all a key selling point for for graduates and technical staff.
OutSystems already has an office in Singapore since 2013, if I'm not mistaken. And recently, you guys announced that you're working with ITE in Singapore to train students and staff to develop apps using little to no coding. Is that something that is happening in Malaysia as well with Malaysian educational institutions?
We're actually in talks with several institutions in Malaysia, technical institutions, to replicate that model. We've also done that in several other countries around Asia Pacific, the Philippines, Japan, and in Australia. So yeah, we're replicating that model. I think that is certainly one of our key challenges that we're addressing as we expand by double digits, is making sure that we have the adequate talent and training of young people to come into our business. So the trainees for OutSystems, you know, from a university, not only seed OutSystems, but they seed our ecosystem, our customers, and our partners. And that's really where the major benefit is. But to answer your question directly, yes, we are, you know, currently in talks with several educational institutions in Malaysia. And we see that as a key support structure to continue to grow the market around OutSystems in Malaysia.
I'm curious as well, what sort of incentives, you know, in terms of tax status, were you offered by the Malaysian government to set up an office here, if there was any?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're in the process of getting the corridor status in Malaysia. And, you know, some of our customers are involved in attracting, you know, foreign investment into Malaysia. So we actually, they're customers and they're actually obviously incented to bring us in as part of the multimedia corridor process. So we're currently, trying to get those final approvals done. So that, I think, shows our commitment to Malaysia and, you know, our excitement for the future.
That's, I suppose, where you can see your double-digit growth coming from, right?
Yeah, certainly part of it. We've over the last 6 to 9 months, we've seen Malaysia, you know, grow at actually over 300% for OutSystems. So it's the fastest growing. You know, it's obviously a lower base of some of the markets that we've, you know, been in longer. But you know, we've seen that the markets adopted our technology at a very fast rate, and obviously we need to keep up with that. And we think that, you know, our Malaysian, you know, employees and our ecosystem, when I mean our ecosystem, our partners and our customers, you know, putting in those foundations around education are very, very important. And, you know, we continue to look at Malaysia as a major contributor to OutSystems in the future.
There's certainly no shortage of demand for OutSystems services here, but what will be your focus? Are you looking more at public institutions or private institutions and companies?
Good question. You know, OutSystems platform is really a horizontal platform. So really any enterprise that has application development needs, which is pretty much most enterprises, is a good candidate for OutSystems. Now, we have certain so-called areas of the economy or vertical markets that are moving faster than others. In Malaysia, obviously oil and gas and power energy, one of our key customers, which I can talk about, is Sarawak Energy. So Sarawak Energy has deployed the platform to modernize several of their legacy applications and then integrate them into the rest of the systems within Sarawak Energy. So they continue to get a tremendous amount of value from OutSystems going forward. We also have several government agencies in Malaysia, some that issue manufacturing permits, that manage foreign investors that use our platform internally. We have, for example, one of the major water treatment companies in Malaysia uses OutSystems. And so we see it really different in every market. I mean, in Malaysia, we've had kind of a mix of private and public deployment of OutSystems. In some other markets, like, for example, Indonesia, we've had a lot of insurance and financial services institutions use OutSystems because of the nature of that market and the amount of digital transformation and competition going on between the banks and insurance companies there. In Japan, Toyota's one of our largest customers globally. The whole auto ecosystem, we have a lot of customers in Japan that use OutSystems. You know, in Singapore, it's probably more focused on government-linked companies that use OutSystems. We have private businesses as well, but a lot of the Smart Nation Initiative type of companies that participate in that use OutSystems. So it really depends on the market.
Where do SMEs stand when it comes to OutSystems services? Because Malaysia has a large pool of SMEs, especially after COVID. A lot of them are super hungry to expand their reach. You would actually have to start from educating them first before actually developing systems for that. Do you see a focus there?
We do. One of the exciting things that we have coming out at OutSystems is a new version of our platform, which will be in general release by the early part of 2023. We call it Project Neo. It's a full cloud-native platform that will run on AWS, built on Kubernetes. And we think that a lot of SMB companies are going to really be able to get started on OutSystems a lot easier with this platform. So even though we have SMB customers today, most of our customers are in the kind of the commercial space, but we're seeing an uptake in SME. And we think that this new platform that we have right now, it's in limited release with certain customers that are trying it out. But when it gets into general release, we think we're going to see a big explosion of business and SMEs as they can really try out systems, try it with one app, two apps, get started, and then consume more as they get more value. And we're training our partners to be able to support those customers in SME going forward. And SME is a big market in Malaysia, as it is in the rest of Asia Pacific as well.
Before the break, you talked about technical debt, legacy systems. And in the Malaysian context, that's something Malaysian firms are certainly saddled with. And I mean, the attitude I'm pretty sure would be like, you know, if it ain't broke, why fix it, right? How do you go about convincing them?
So technical debt is almost like a credit card, you know, yeah. It keeps building up over time. So what it does for, companies have IT budgets and they're being squeezed now, obviously with the kind of current economic environment that we have, which is a little bit, more difficult than maybe we've had in the past. And how we can easily sell it is if you can reduce your technical debt, you can free up, your IT funds to work on revenue generating projects. So if technical debt keeps building and eating up your budget, it's just like your personal budget, right? If you have credit card debt and you're paying a high interest rate, it's crowding out your ability to buy something else or to make another investment decision. So it's a pretty straightforward value proposition for us. You can reduce technical debt by replatforming applications on OutSystems where you can maintain them in a much more agile way. And then it frees up funds for you to do and invest in other projects. So, technical debt is a big problem. There's so many companies are saddled with, spending a lot of money on, maintaining old systems. And that's a key value proposition.
Are you able to share with me what sort of investments OutSystems has set aside for your venture into Malaysia?
In terms of actual number of people, we've been growing there. We'll have over 40 people by the end of the year in Malaysia. That's doubled really in the last year. So we when I look at all the markets in Asia Pac, there's probably two that we're adding the most people. One of them is Malaysia and the other one is India. So India is being one of the software development centers of the world and also being a large domestic market is rapidly expanding in OutSystems, and I think Malaysia as well, not only for the domestic market, but what we can find in Malaysia is really good technical staff that they can speak Bahasa Melayu, they can speak Chinese, and we can service a big part of Asia Pacific with Malaysian staff. So in terms of people, we continue to add people. In terms of customers, we've doubled the size of the customer base in Malaysia in the last year. As we get more success with our existing customers, we feel a lot more customers will come on board. Yeah, it's a big opportunity for us.
Mark Weezer, terima kasih.
Terima kasih.
We've been talking to Mark Weezer, the Asia Pacific Vice President of OutSystems, a company that provides tools for businesses to develop apps. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Keith Kam for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.